Brandon Muller filed this update on HISD's budget dilemma. This week, the Houston Independent School District has announced its postponement of one of its large-scale plans to increase funding equity in the district. Among other things, the plan, set in motion by former Superintendent Richard Carranza, would have provided funding to every school to ensure each campus had at least one nurse, one counselor, and one librarian. But the plan fell apart after Carranza announced his exit, and as the district scrambles to meet upcoming deadlines and how to budget around an anticipated $115 million deficit. Interim Superintendent Granita Latham explained that she has asked district administrators to pause the plan.
There were concerns that maybe we needed to go back and revisit it so we could truly define why we were moving to an FTE model, how it was going to improve outcomes for students, how we're going to be assured that all campuses would have what they need. And I think even a question that came up even most recently, does adding a nurse or a counselor or a social worker or a librarian, does it truly benefit a campus when they might have other needs? And so that's another reason we wanted to just pause and just take a step back and then present some recommendations to the board of how we move forward, engage not only our principals and our teachers, but our parents in the greater community around what does a funding allocation, whether it's PUA, FTE, what does it look like for HISD in our community.
But even as the plan to ensure each campus had a librarian, counselor, and nurse has been tabled for now, the district is changing other parts of its funding allocation model for campuses. The new district plans mean they're giving small schools more money per student in an effort to help make up for the funding model that benefits larger schools, because the money divided up between the campuses is based on student enrollment. HISD General Manager for the Budget, Glenn Reed, explained the new change and how it's a band-aid as the district prepares to continue studying and talking about equity.
It starts the process of addressing small school budget inequities. It reduces the impact of budget cuts on small schools. And it's just a bridge to addressing equity in our resource allocation system. What we've asked for is to start in June is a resource allocation committee. We haven't had one of these that I'm aware of really since probably 2002. This needs to come back around. It needs to be a continuing process. This committee needs to talk about or will work on defining equity for HISD. What does that mean? I've heard that question from every group. What's equity? What makes that equity?
Right.
Obviously, to make major changes to our system is going to cost money to do so. That was one of the asks, is if we're going to put this money in the small schools right now and use next year's unspent funds, then this has to be part of the process. It can't just be a band-aid that we just continue with.
School Board Trustee Jolanda Jones took exception to the band-aid approach.
You said at the beginning of the workshop that this does not achieve equity yet, but this is a band-aid, blah, blah, blah. I want to know why not, why? Like, why are we always piecemealing equity? Number two, I want to know related to the resource allocation committee, who's going to be on it? I've seen these principal committees for stuff, and they always put the principals who are used to having their way, and they're overwhelmingly represented and stuff. And so decisions with all these committees are always skewed in favor of the schools that have access and they have people that vote. So I've got real issues about who's going to be on these resource allocation committees. It shouldn't be all these schools that have everything. We have more schools that don't have stuff than schools that have stuff, and they need to be represented.
School Board Trustee Diana Davila, who was most recently elected to the board in 2015, but who also previously served on the board from 2003 to 2010, said that the initial goal of the small school subsidy was to help ensure those smaller campuses could afford essential staff and services.
And so if we're talking about making it clear, the only way we're going to make it clear is if we come up with a policy that states it, because that was the error we did 10 years ago when this came up. We trusted our administration to do the right thing, but as administration changed and superintendents changed, as people retired, not everyone got the memo about this was the goal about small school subsidies. If we want it to be something where they fund essential positions, we're going to have to make it a policy. Otherwise, it's going to continue to be the same way it is. We give the money, and yet you go to these schools, and they don't have a nurse, and they don't have a librarian. And when you question them, they just don't feel the need or see the need behind it. And I believe in the autonomy, but when you're going to some of these schools and they don't have a nurse, and it's clearly 100% socioeconomically disadvantaged.
During this week's budget workshop meeting, school board members were eager to direct the administration on what data and reports and numbers and facts that they wanted it to produce for future budget meetings, as they have done in previous meetings. It was telling. It told anyone who was listening that the elected school board have a lot of undefined variables and incomplete information in front of it as it attempts to guide the district through making some very rough decisions that will likely result in layoffs all across personnel units in the state's largest district. For instance, as admitted by the board members, they still don't know exactly how many campuses lack librarians, nurses, and counselors. Also, they don't know what exactly these positions are. What is a counselor? Is it like a psychiatrist with a master's degree trained to identify and help troubled kids? Or is a counselor more like an academic advisor who helps students pick electives and strive for college? One board member also asked for a list of all district employees who make more than $74,000 a year. That's the cap that teachers with 36 years of experience can make in the district. Under the current plan, it will be district administrators and principals tasked with making the hard decisions on what jobs will be cut from the district as it continues to grapple with its $115 million problem. This is Steve Gallington of the People's News.